1 Corinthians, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians, our text verse is right there. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. And these are not the random thoughts. These are the words of God. God is using Paul to pen these words in 1 Corinthians. But these words have always been in heaven. Now, if you read through 1 Corinthians, many issues are dealt with, but as you get to the end of the chapter, it's like he's rapid fire going through a list of things, just like a husband would get last minute detailed instructions as he rushes out the door to leave to go on a trip or something like that. And these instructions are very specific at the end of 1 Corinthians. All the issues that 1 Corinthians deals with, carnality, division, strife, pride, selfishness, all those. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, he gives four exhortations. Four exhortations. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. They're not independent of each other, and it appears that the first three, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, are tied to the last one. In other words, how do you be strong? It appears that, and once again, I know that this is my interpretation of it, but as far as it appears that the first three show you how to obey the last one. It seems like in our society, and I know this is my opinion, but it seems like in our society, there's an overemphasis on physical conditioning and physical strength. And our society appears to play down the emphasis on inner strength. You say, are you sure? Listen closely. I'm not against physical conditioning and exercise. I like physical training. I like that. But you do need to remember, in the Bible, God says, 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. God doesn't say to not exercise, but he says don't overemphasize it. Bodily exercise does have a profit. And I've learned something. And did you know most diets are almost useless without exercise? And I've heard people say all the time, you know, I'm on this diet, but I haven't lost any weight. Most diets, God designed us to work. God designed our body to work. Okay, and so bodily exercise does profit a little. I think you should work at keeping your body healthy. I think you should study your body. You should know what certain types of foods affect you. You should know how things, can you get too much sugar? Can you get these power drinks and energy drinks? I think they're dangerous. They still don't know all the effects of them. But you should know how your body responds to certain foods. You should study yourself. I think that sports are important because of competition that is taught, that's healthy. I think it's a healthy competition. I think physical self-protection, learning how to defend yourself, learning how to protect yourself, I think that's very important to learn. What is frustrating is in our society when people neglect strengthening the inner man and the inner person. Your spiritual strength. When I read 1 Timothy 4, it does speak of exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That tells me this. You should be exercising yourself in, let me give you one area. I think we should all be exercising ourselves and practicing yielding to the Holy Spirit. You can't be godly without Him. You should be exercising yourself when you feel the red starting in your feet and the temper's coming up. You should be exercising yourself in yielding to the Holy Spirit and not letting. That takes exercise. That takes work. That takes effort. That takes exercising ourselves unto godliness. It is my opinion that as our society becomes more humanistic and more godless, that there is a removal, listen, of things that if they were handled properly, they would strengthen the inner person. Things like hurt, difficulty, failure, disappointment, pressure, stress. those things, if they are handled properly, they can destroy you. But there is also a scriptural way of dealing with those items so that they strengthen you. And really, God designed the hard times and the pressures to make us stronger, not destroy us. And God does make that available. But if those things are handled properly, they would strengthen the inner person. It seems that our society works overtime to remove hurt, difficulty, failure, disappointment, pressure, stress from everybody's life. How to eliminate stress? I don't know that you can ever eliminate stress. You cannot handle yourself properly so that the stress destroys you. You can increase your stress by learning how not to plan and organize and things like that. You can do that. But if these things are responded to properly, they can help build the inner man and make you stronger spiritually. Now, you've heard me talk about this. It's sad. You say, are you sure, preacher? It's sad in little league sports, they're no longer keeping sports in the ball games. Because we want to remove failure. We want to remove the stress of being a loser. Are you kidding me? And it's most popular in soccer, because soccer is the world sport. So they just don't keep any scores anymore. Well, we don't want to warp the kid's psyche. Are you kidding me? Who wants to play without keeping... What a boring game to me. And it's funny, you know, they ask the parents, you know, so, how'd your kid do in the game? Well, we're not keeping score anymore. And then the little kid goes, we lost 8-0. The kids are keeping score. Any boy that plays, he's watching. Crud, another goal. He knows the score. Then there is the removal. Now, in our society, of offensive names in sports like Redskins. Are you serious? Because that might be offensive, and that causes stress and reminds us of the past, and we need to change the face on the $20 bill to Harriet Tubman, and because Thomas Jefferson had slaves. Really? That's what they said. We need to change the face, and this is going to kick in, you know, in 2030 or whatever. We need to do this because we need to eliminate. You're supposed to learn from the past, not erase the past. Amen? I'm not for slaves, but I'm also, it was a fact of life, and we weren't the only ones that doing it. And if slavery is that much of an issue, who's screaming against Islam? They're still making slaves. I don't think it's the issue. I think it's our president is feeding our nation racism right now because it's a great divider of a country. Let me give you some more things. I feel very sad about the boy that got eaten by the alligator that was from Nevada, the family from Nevada down in Disney. But now Disney, to retaliate going the other way, they're removing all the alligators from any display. Okay, I think that's sad. It was horrible. Okay, I would agree. If that was one of my children, I'd still be crying. I think that's horrible. But I saw two car wrecks yesterday. Two. I'm not for taking all the vehicles off the road now. When those blue angel jets, when they were doing the displays, I think this was a couple years ago, if you remember, one crashed. I thought that was horrible. But I'm not for, well, we need to not do any more air displays because somebody might get hurt. There's always a risk. There's always a risk. But it's the way our society says, well, if it causes any stress or any disappointment, then totally remove it. I think that's a sad way to be. I've told you before, but some of the big high schools now are no longer keeping attendance because the teens are missing so much school. Not every one of them, but some of the high schools no longer keep attendance. I know that was true in Texas. There was a high school there. The teachers don't even keep attendance anymore. The kids are missing. Why come you're doing that? Well, then we'd flunk everybody. Well, then flunk everybody. Right. Well, we just don't keep attendance. And do you see the tendency of our society is to remove all of the anything that has hurt or difficulty or failure or any pressure or stress. Now we have parents protecting their kids from any struggle or disappointment or difficulty. I went through my dog dying. Every boy ought to go through a dog dying. It's painful, but it's part of life. Well, quick, the dog's going to die, so take it out in the woods and don't let Junior see it. Let him watch his dog die. It's good. It's part of life. The tears are good. It strengthens them. You don't protect them from all heartache. You don't keep them from that. How are they going to grow up? Look at anyone who is greatly used of God. And see, you'll see a pressure cooker that they spent time in first. How does God make a king? He takes a teenage boy, puts him out in the sheep field, lets him watch his father's sheep. Spends a lot of time alone. Then how does God make a king? As soon as he anoints him king, he ends up being chased like an animal for 7 years by the man who's called his boss. Saul chased David. That's how God makes a king.
Well, I'll put him in the palace and let him eat the fine foods and the fine clothes.
God said, put the pressure on. And if you'll remember, when Saul was chasing David, that's when he gained his mighty men. That's when God was making a king. How does God make a king? How does God make somebody to use them? He allows hard time to come into their life, and then, as they properly respond to it, he strengthens them. Everybody has struggles. Sometimes I really think, as a pastor, the best information and counsel I can give you is towards the end of 1 Corinthians 16. When you're struggling and when you're hurting, sometimes there's strength we gain from the Scriptures. There's other times that, guess what? We need to just be strong. Be strong. You say, yeah, but give me a Bible verse that can... I can give you 1 Corinthians 16:13 sometimes. Be strong. You need to toughen up. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? Man, this is hard, and as I'm going through this, you're going to need to fortify yourself and get strong. You need to get some thicker skin. You need to toughen up. Sometimes that's good advice. Just listen closely. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that goeth." That doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says in verse 7, be strong and of good courage. In Joshua 1:6, God says, be strong and of a good courage. In Joshua 1:9, God says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua 10:25 says, and Joshua said unto them, fear not nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. One more verse, 1 Samuel verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. And this is words to the Philistines. And after this little charge here, after the Philistines heard, be strong and quit yourselves like men, they beat the Israelites. Be strong. Be strong. Then when you come to the New Testament, God is very careful to tell us in the New Testament to, in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In 2 Timothy 2:1, He says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But when you hit the text verse of tonight, 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be strong at the end of it. I thank God for the strength that is in His power and that the strength that He gives us and makes available to us. But when you read 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. I think in this case, in this verse right here, it appears what should be inside of every human being. There has to be some degree of resolve in you. There has to be some degree of endurance, some degree of determination, some degree of, I'm going to make it and get through this. And the old-fashioned word is grit. It doesn't say be strong in the Lord or be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that. It says be strong. And I think there's in all of us, God puts an ability to resolve and determine and strengthen and go ahead and face things with, guess what? I want to say it carefully, an inner strength. Here, God uses Paul to say, be strong, not be strong in the Lord. I think our society dumbs down the idea of being strong individuals. I don't like humanistic reasoning, and I don't like what they're teaching kids in the public school. The strength is within you. You know, turn on your heart light and let your, you know, I mean, all that it's stupid stuff. It's humanism. Ignore God instead of let you know, guide yourself and all that weird stuff. I know this. I think there's all that's mysticism. But there is a balance here in this verse in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Did you know God won't help a lazy person? God won't help a lazy person. God does not put forth effort in our lives when we don't put forth effort. That's very important to understand. And I know that this, everybody says that, you know, God helps those who help themselves, and they really think it's a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse, but it is a Bible principle. God doesn't help someone, okay, when you can work and get a job, and then, Lord, I need money to pay the rent. Well, quit wasting it and get a job and work. Amen. If you can work, that now, it, when you're in the straits and you can't work and things like that, I understand that, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about your resolve. I think that's why the media hates Donald Trump so much. The liberal media and the broken GOP cannot stand strong leadership. I didn't say Donald Trump was perfect, but he's a businessman that knows how to achieve. And he also knows, because of the money that he's dealt with, he also knows you either win or lose. It's not, how'd you do? I tied. There's no ties in the business world. You either lost or you made it. And if you made it, it's because you worked hard, right? He has that's his view. I didn't say I agree with everything. I'm just saying I believe that's why the liberal media hates him to that so badly, because of our society. Our society now puts a premium on the passive, casual, underachieving, social media deadhead. They can operate Facebook, but they can't hold down a job. That's sad. They're saying social media is running our society now. It's running it. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. I'm talking about tonight, when you read this, I'm talking about the husband when he has to work long hours. I'm talking, sometimes it's hard. As the wife tells you when you come home that the pipe broke and it's leaking all over this part of the house, it has to be fixed. Then the wife tells you that the car is making that noise again. And then you go out to the car and it never makes that noise when you're in the car. It only makes that noise when she's in the car. And that adds to the stress. I'm talking to you about when the toilet, you find out, is backed up. Then the unexpected bill comes in the mail. And you know the grass needs mowing. The furnace filter needs to be changed and the oil in the car is overdue. The family needs time and you reach the point where you go, ah! Guess what? 1 Corinthians 16:13, be strong. Be strong. It's time to man up. It's time to, you're right, you could have a nervous breakdown. You're right. But it shouldn't be an option with a Christian. Be strong. I'm going to get what it takes. I'm going to be strong. Listen closely. It requires much more inner strength to deal with those issues than how much you can bench press. It requires much more inner strength to deal with those issues than running from them to social media or video games. I'm not against physical training. But the emphasis in this verse is reaching down and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and finding some inner strength, some resolve, some grit, and just enduring it. Be strong. Be strong. The wives have to do the same. You're at home with one or two of the kids, and one gets sick, and then you don't feel well. And you're with yourself, and then the kids are, be strong. When you're training your children and disciplining them, be strong. When the house needs cleaning and your husband needs your help, sending the bills off, and your mother-in-law calls and she just wants to talk and take time, and you need to fix supper and you need to have it ready by a certain time, and the bed sheets need changing, and the laundry needs folding, and the kids need help with their homework, and when your husband gets home, bless God, he's going hunting. And then the wife goes and looks at it all. Oh, how is... Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. It just seems that God's telling people of all ages in this wonderful, timeless book, be strong. It appeals to your resolve, your determination, and your grit. The financial stress for many is more than it's ever been. Obamacare has stressed our society and our economy. It is designed to break our nation financially. To Obama, debt is his weapon of mass destruction. Obamacare has thrown our financial system into total shock. Health insurance's premiums are increasing exponentially. They're going from $4,000 and $6,000 a year to over $24,000 a year For the same family, for the same family. That pressure, that financial stress, it does create stress, and I'm not negating that. There are health struggles that are very taxing and debilitating. As financial pressures increase, it makes work more stressful. When it's already mentally draining enough, there's deadlines, there's projects, then there's the, what mood is my boss going to be in today? You got to play that game too, right? That adds to stress. And it takes its toll. Guess what? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong, and here we go. I don't use these words lightly, but sometimes there comes a place where as a Christian you need to deal with it. You don't ignore it. I've watched people just shut down. Just, that's how you deal with the pressure? You can't do that. You need to be strong and deal with it. Be strong and deal with it. Now it appears when you look at 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says the first three commands help us in the matter of being strong. So watch this. If you look there at 1 Corinthians 16:13, the first thing that God tells us here is watch ye. Watch ye. All right? This is not the same commandment as watch and pray. Watch and pray is found elsewhere in God's Word. Here it says watch ye. When God tells us to watch and pray, He says, give up a little sleep to pray. This is a command to be on guard, to be alert, to be vigilant, and be careful. God is saying here, first thing, if you're going to be strong, you need to pay attention to what's going on. My dad used to say, put your brain in gear. You can't go through life with your brain in neutral. You can't go through life floating, wondering what's going to happen. You have to have your brain engaged. Be perceptive. Watch. Look what's going on. The guy that was killed in the Tesla car last week, when his car was on auto drive, he was watching a movie. He was watching Harry Potter. I'm not glad the guy died. But when you're dealing with a test vehicle, and this is new technology, and you put it on auto drive, it's not so you can take a nap. How stupid can you be? Oh, I'll just watch a movie. They said that those systems are so complicated, the trunk is filled with a computer. They don't even have trunk space in those auto-drive cars. It's filled with a computer. And they said it is so complicated to duplicate in a computer the decisions your mind has to make while you're driving. Is this coming? You know, how close am I? Where's my right front wheel? When this happens, it said the computer couldn't differentiate between the side of the semi and the white sky. So it just kept on going, and the guy died. Excuse me, if you're driving a test vehicle, that means they don't have all the kinks worked out. That's me. It's designed for you to be facing the front, you know. But to watch a movie? That's not being vigilant. That's not being careful. That's not being detailed and paying attention to what's going on. And yeah, guess what? It cost him his life. In a day where people text when they drive, the wrecks of rear-ending car wrecks are getting extremely common. Those are the two I saw yesterday. I mean big ones. I said, both times I saw it, I said, well, somebody was texting when they shouldn't have been. Well, no, it can happen. My dad always taught me, there's only one reason you hit a vehicle in the rear, and that's because you weren't paying attention. Did you know they have a right when you're driving down the road, they can put on the brakes at any time. If you hit them in the rear, you pay for it. It's you. It's you. That means you keep a distance. Amen? That means you keep a distance. God says here in this verse, watch and be alert. It'll help you be strong. When you're in a situation with stress, if you're dealing with failure, disappointment, and hurt, watch. Pay attention. Watch ye. Understand when you need to be strong. Know that certain time when you need to have a talk with yourself and just say, self, this is one of those times. We're going to be strong. When do you need to talk to yourself? I don't suggest you do it all the time. But there, every once in a while, comes a time when it gets hard and you need to say, okay, we're going to have a talk. This is going to get tough. I see it coming, and we're going to take it. And we're going to deal with it. We're not running from it. We're going to face it. Watch ye. Be aware. Next, look at that verse there in 1 Corinthians 16. God says, watch ye, or pay attention. And then He says, stand fast in the faith. Now, listen closely.
It's not just stand fast. If you're going to be strong, stand fast in the faith. That means when stress, difficulty, failure, disappointment, and tragedy come, you should never abandon the things that are fundamental to your faith in times of difficulty, stress, and pressure. Stand fast. Use the illustration of Job. In a moment, his life changed forever. He lost his business. He lost his children. The only thing left was his family. In one day, his life was changed forever. Then, in another day, he lost his health. He lost it all. As a matter of fact, can we take our Bible and go there? Watch this. Job 23. Go right before Psalms. Go to Job 23. When God says, stand fast in the faith, first you need to watch ye, then you need to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Job 23, verse 8. He says, behold, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, where God's been, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. He's saying, I can't find God. I've lost my kids, I've lost my health, I've lost my business, and God, I look forward, behind, to my left and right, and I can't see God. And then watch what he says. It's not like when he says, just stay there in chapter 23, I'll come right back to it. In chapter 29, he said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. He said, I remember the past. I remember when I experienced the presence of God, when I experienced His touch and I knew He was there. In Job 29:3, he said, when His candle shined upon my head and when by His light I walked through darkness, I remember His guiding hand. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. In chapter 23, he says in verse 11, Job said, he said, I can't find God anywhere. And then look at verse number 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what that teaches me? I should not change what I believe when I'm under pressure and when I'm experiencing pain and hurt and when I'm vulnerable. Do not change what you... Job is the pattern for suffering in the Bible. Nobody has suffered like Job. So what did he do? He said, you know what? I'm not changing what I believe because I'm going through a hard time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Determine what you believe and I'm not changing just because I'm having a hard time. Because of the hurt and the disappointment and the stress and the apparent failure, I'm going to be strong and stand fast in the faith. I don't know of any hurt anybody can go through that's like the hurt of a child disappointing you. It's a horrible hurt. That's a heart-ripping pain because you pour your life and you train and then because of their choices, how they talk, how they want to dress, how they want to live, your expectations are dashed and you feel like your life is wasted. When kids disappoint us, it's a dangerous time in our life. You say, are you talking about families in church? I'm talking about families in church. I don't understand. First of all, let me just say before I go into the details of this, I don't understand how people can criticize somebody and families that have struggled. I don't. Doesn't God say, considering yourself? Well, they just had command of their kids. Every person I've ever heard criticize a family that struggled with their kids, normally their kids are 2 and 3. Sit down. Go over there. Yeah, they obey you real good when they're 2 and 3. How many teenagers have you raised?
Well, but I know how to do it.
Okay, we'll see you when you get there. Bless God. It's hard. It is. I love what Brother Bulkley said. Raising kids is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And then to criticize somebody who struggled in it, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Did you know that it not only happens in churches, but it's also happening when an old-time preacher watches his son go the way of this emergent church garbage and this contemporary church stuff? He sends his boy off to college, doesn't realize the junk that his son is getting exposed to, and the boy comes back.
It breaks the dad's heart when he sees the changes, and then he believes as the son leaves the father. Now you got boys coming home from Bible college telling the old-time preachers, well, you've been doing it wrong, and if you're going to reach this society, this is what you have to do, and you got young men leading older men. Do you know why? Because the older men get frustrated. They feel like things aren't happening the way they should, and then they start to let the young lead them and change what they believe. God says, stand fast in the faith. If you're going to be strong, watch, pay attention, and stand fast in the faith. Just because things may not be happening the way we think they need to be happening, and we're not getting the results that we thought we would get, doesn't mean that we're going to change what God's Word says. There are pastors whose sons are changing them. Then you get the homes where the kids are running the parents. The family goes to an independent Baptist church until the kids get older. Then the daughter starts fussing about the dress standards. And the boy doesn't want this conviction or that conviction of the parents. And the parents get disappointed and they start buying into it and they let the child change them. When you're hurt, listen, under stress and pressure and the pain, you're vulnerable. God says this, if you're going to be strong, stand fast in the faith. Don't change what you believe. Don't change what you believe. Stand fast in the faith. We've had thriving times in our church, and we have times that are not so thriving. Does pastor know what's going on? Trust me, pastor knows what's going on. It plays head games with me. I want to be faithful and remain a faithful pastor, and I don't want to change. Well, okay, sometimes it's just Brother Dorsey and I going out soul winning. Sometimes. You know where my head goes? The future generation needs to see His faithfulness. Amen. The young have to catch on. It can't just be the old that are serving the Lord and the church. The young, praise God, we've got some wonderful, wonderful models. But it can't stay this way. He's not going to always be here. Amen. A Brother Wilkins isn't always going to be here. A Brother Gaskin isn't always going to be here. They're supposed to be giving examples to us. Amen. In their faithfulness, so that the younger can say, you know what? I remember the men in my life. I remember watching them. I remember their testimony, and I want the same thing. I want the same thing. Stand fast in the faith. Don't change what you believe. Don't change what you believe. By God's grace, I'm not going to change what I believe. Sometimes I may struggle. I may need to, in my mind games, I may need to go beat my head against a tree out there. And I do. But I better not, I don't want to change what we believe. I don't want to believe what I know our church is supposed to hold to and what we're as Christians supposed to hold to. I don't want to change. By God's grace, I won't. What I believe the Bible teaches we should do in our church. God says here, have some resolve and get some grit. If you're going to be strong, stand fast in the faith. Determine what you believe and say, I'm not changing it. Have you ever met, you know, when I grew up, my mom used to tell me about the pinching contest. You ever seen a pinching contest? You say, no, Pastor, don't tell them that. But some of the older generation does. But my mom used to say she'd go up to her sister and she'd grab right here, you know, on the back of your arm, and then her sister would grab and then they'd start pinching. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go till you let go. I'm not letting go. And then they'd pinch harder and then it's, I didn't say that's a wonderful thing that you probably need to do all the time. But there was something that it was teaching. Grit. Perseverance. Gritting your teeth and just saying, I'm going to do this. That's healthy. And I think our society lacks that. I think our society lacks that. Stand fast in the faith. Next, look at the final phrase here. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, God says, watch ye, pay attention. Pay attention. Stand fast in the faith. Don't change what you believe. Quit you like men. Now, if you look that word up, quit, it does not mean, the definition of the word quit here does not mean stop. The way your King James Bible uses it, that word quit, it means perform. It means equip yourself and perform. Perform you like men. Pull yourself together and do what you need to do. You perform like a man. You do what you're supposed to do and you be what you're supposed to be. Look, and the best illustration I can give of this, in professional sports, when they start playing a team, have you ever watched a team really get behind? Like, 63-7. You know, we called it a skunk when we were growing up. Looks like they're getting skunked. Everybody, you're supposed to play to the end. You don't get to a point where, well, there's only one quarter left and it's 63-7. That's it. I quit. I'm going home. I can't win. You can't do that. You quit you like a man. You perform like a man. You man up and you say, you know what? The score doesn't determine what I am. I'm not quitting. When they're playing a baseball game and it's 30-2 and it's the last inning, you get up, you grab your bat, you get in the left or right hand batter box and you take the swing and you do your best. You don't, well, I quit because we can't win. Are you kidding me? Quit you like a man. Perform like a man. You do what you're supposed to do. And you watch this. When you're in a race, I remember cross-country racing, and I'm not the, by any means. We had some amazing cross-country runners in my high school. We had the best cross-country track in Michigan. I mean, it had hills and water to run through. It was the best. Our school, small C-class school, beat all of the AAA schools in the state. We were number one in cross-country. We had some amazing runners. I remember as we would run cross-country in gym, and you're running, I remember the most important thing my gym teacher would say, most important thing is that you finish. It's not that you come in first. When you're plowing up that hill and your tennis shoes are soaked with mud and it's... And then I go into the Marine Corps and I remember they start doing the PT test. And man, how fast can you run 3 miles? I'll never forget it. I'll never forget getting my time. I thought, man, I could never run it under 18. I could never run 3:16 minutes. I remember, but I can do my best. And I remember when I crossed that line, I remember it was 19:10 or something. And I wasn't in the first, and I wasn't in the last, but I was tickled with me. Do you understand? And I think every Christian ought to be that way. Quit you like a man. Perform like a man. You do what you're supposed to do. You give it all you've got. Watch this. The score doesn't determine what I am. Well, that's it. I quit since I can't win. And that's society today. Well, I guess we'll never win first place. Did you finish? Did you finish? How about this? Well, what was the score? Hey, I gave it all I got. That's why I told the basketball team, you know what? Sometimes you learn more by losing than you do by winning. Now, I didn't say losing is wonderful. But to say, oh, that's it, we quit. You get out there, you give it all you got. You rally, you do all you can. And when the game's done and you lost, then you learned something. Now, why did you lose? And when I was on the wrestling team, I remember, you know, I weighed 132. And I wrestled, and I'll never forget, wrestling the 155. That was two weight classes above me. That guy had horseshoes on the back of his arm and bowling balls. And I mean, he didn't even have a neck. It was just head, ears, shoulders. Ugh. And he comes out, and I was like, oh, this is going to... And I was like, this is going to hurt. But I didn't go, oh, I quit. I can't win. You quit you like a man. You perform like a man. You go ahead and give it everything you got. You say, did you beat him? Absolutely not. He took me. He said, oh, look, your little head comes off just like that. Looky there. And look, we'll pull your arm off and put your head there. And hey, I wonder if your arm can screw into your neck hole. You know, like I got slaughtered. But you don't quit. You don't, oh, he's too big. David didn't do that. He said, I'm going to give it all I got. You don't think he was scared when he went out against Goliath? 9 feet tall? 9.5 feet? Nobody was that big. You don't think he was like, Lord, I'm going to... And this was the attitude. This is how David was strong. He said, I'm going to do all I can, and then, Lord, I need you to do all you can do. And that was his attitude. And you quit you like a man, and you man up, and you perform like a man, and you give it all you got. And the battle should never determine what I am or how much I give. I'm not a quitter. God is willing and able to help us. As I look at 1 Corinthians 16:13, God gives three prerequisites to being strong. If you're going to be strong, pay attention, watch. Stand fast in the faith, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how hard it gets, I'm not changing what I believe. I'm going to stand fast in the faith, and then I'm going to perform. I'm going to quit you like man. I'm going to perform like a man. I'm going to endure. God is willing and able to help us. But there are times when God expects you and me to be strong. there's times when God says, be strong, get tough. The world is saying, be passive, give up, throw in the towel. The world is trying to remove every hurt, every stress, every disappointment, every hardship, but that is not life. Whatever happened to, I'll never forget it. When in doing the obstacle course, the drill instructor saying, push through the pain. Push through the pain. But it hurts. Push through the pain. Drive yourself. Your ability to push yourself most of the time determines your success. Most of the time. And I love that this attitude. The attitude that ought to be taught to our kids is, I'll die before I quit. This may kill me, but I didn't quit. That's one of the most important elements that can be instilled in our children. The self-help books are humanistic. Life is full of hurt and disappointment and pain and suffering. And when I run out of strength, I have a wonderful God that can step in with a mighty and stretched out arm and help me. And He's done it many times. But God is not going to do that until we exhaust what God's already given us. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. God says, pay attention. You stand fast. You be fixed in what you believe. You perform like a man and you do what you're supposed to do. And you get some resolve and you get some perseverance. And when you run out of strength, then I'm there. But until you run out, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. God says, you give it all I got, all you got, and I'll make up for what you don't have. But there's some times that we as Christians just need to be strong. Be strong. Let's pray. Father, please.